Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This will be one of the places we'll kind of start, and we're going to look at several things this morning as we get into this study. As you notice, the top of the page, does everybody have a handout? If anybody needs the handout, let us know. We've got some up here. But the handout is entitled Principles of Biblical Interpretation. This is Lesson 1 or Part 1. Should be several weeks to go through this. We're going to look at a subject I think is vital and important to every believer. We call this, sometimes call it Bible study methods, sometimes called Principles of Biblical Interpretation. Sometimes it's called hermeneutics. That's just a name that means study of how to study the Bible or principles of studying the Bible. For the next few weeks, we're going to be digging into ways that we can get into the Scripture. It's vital for us in the Christian life so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Our goal is not only to study the Word, but to know why and how to study the Word. So there's a lot there. The goal of knowing and applying the Scripture is the key in our lives that helps us mature, helps us grow, helps us as children of God to become more like Christ. Now, foundation for all that we know and how we grow is the aspect of the Scripture. Let's face it. How do you know about Jesus? How do you know about how to live the Christian life? How do you know about the world? How do you know about God? You can go back to the Word of God. So it's important that you know how to study and dig the Scripture yourself. We talk to people all the time. We'll say, are you having Bible study? And they'll say, well, I have like my quiet times, but I don't really know how to study the Bible for myself. Or I usually just like read some verses and write some things down. Well, how do you study the Scripture? How do you do that? This morning, we're going to begin a study on how to get into the Scriptures for ourselves. I think there'll be some fun things as we do it. Let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for each one that is here. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us beyond what we could even imagine, that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us and to pay for sin and rise again and give us eternal life as a gift. And we thank you that Jesus indeed is our substitute. He is our Savior. He bore in his body our sins when he was on the cross, that he is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. We thank you, Lord, that you have made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Just over and over, Lord, we thank you for the substitution of our Savior Jesus. Thank you that he indeed is the Savior. Help us, Lord, as we look into the Scripture. We know that you have given us your word. It is written form. It is your revelation in a written form. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we know that it does not change. It is alive and powerful, and it is just perfect. And we ask you, Lord, that as we look at it today and as we think about how do we study it for ourselves, that you would teach us. And in the next 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, that we would gain some principles so that we can know how to get into the Scripture for ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that illuminates the word. Thank you for the gifts, talents, and abilities that you've given us to help us live out who we are in Jesus Christ based on the word of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So teach us, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, truth is, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. We become a child of God. We pass from death to life, from darkness to light, from being separated from God to having an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the message is so simple that sometimes people think it's wrong. And you realize that. There are people who think it's wrong because it's that simple. People say it can't be that easy. Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. You trust in him for eternal life. You believe in him as Savior. It's that simple. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved." Salvation is not by our works or goodness, is not by our righteousness, but it is by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this gives us an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ, and it comes simply by faith. From this, we want to think about our fellowship with him. We have this eternal relationship. We want to focus on our fellowship, and there are two aspects of focusing on the fellowship, and I've got them for you right there. One is prayer, and the other is Bible study. Two aspects of how in the world that we relate in this fellowship with God. Well, there's two things. One is prayer, and I want you to write out by prayer. It's where we talk to God. Prayer is where we talk to God. I think there's some trouble in a row over here. I'm just kidding. If these questions get too hard, let me know, okay? But the first one is prayer. It's where we talk to God. The second one is Bible study, in a sense where he talks to us. And so in reality, when you go into the scripture and when you're praying, you're talking to God, and then when you're reading the word and studying the word, he's talking to you. That's that way that you maintain this fellowship. In this study, what we want to do is focus on not the prayer aspect, because we've done Bible studies on prayer and stuff, but we're going to look at the whole idea of scripture, studying the Bible, putting it together. And notice the little thing I have for you. It says, God has spoken, he's not stuttered. That's Prof. Hendricks. He has spoken. He's given us his word. He's given us truth. And he's not stuttered. It's stuff that we need to know. And our goal is to understand the importance of the word of God. Know how to study the word for ourselves. Know how to make application for ourselves. And then know how to pass it on to others. Now, I want you to think about that. You want to know how to get into it for yourself so that you can know what it says. Then you want to be able to make application in your life so that you'll be changed. And then at the same time, you want to be able to pass these truths on to other people. See, the whole Great Commission is to make disciples, and to make disciples is evangelism and training. You lead people to Christ, and then you train them and equip them to be able to do the same thing. If you're going to train and equip people, you're going to have to know the Scripture. So bottom line is that our goal is that you would be able to know how to study it, make application, and pass it on to other people. Let me give you an outline of the study. I think we have it right here. We're calling this the principles of, and I think, let me, do I have that? Yeah, the very next page. If you turn the page, you have the outline even there, but let's put it up here as well. We're calling it principles of biblical interpretation. There's the introduction. That's what we're in right now. Then we come to the question, why should we study the scripture? Why study it? We're going to look at three big reasons on why. And then we're going to look at Ezra's pattern. Now, Ezra's pattern is famous. If you've been in a 412 with me, if you've been in a 2-2, if you've been to membership training, we've talked about Ezra's pattern, Ezra 7:10, and Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the law of the Lord, that he would apply it, and he would teach it to others. So there's his pattern, and we'll see that. As we continue the study, we raise the next question. Why are there different interpretations? I mean, you ever thought about that? Why is a person who you say, that's a great guy, he looks at this passage and he says it means one thing, and another person you say, well, that's a great guy, and he looks at it and he says, no, it doesn't mean that, it means this. Why are there different interpretations? Why are there different views of what the gospel is? Why are there different ways that people say, well, salvation is by being baptized, salvation is... Why are there different views on all these things? Why are there different interpretations? We'll talk about that. There's some reasons there. And then we're going to talk about a goal. Then as we continue, we're going to look at probably the biggest part of our study is going to be the methods of study. I'm going to give you some terms that we must understand, and then we're going to look at interpretation. We're going to talk about how to interpret the Bible. We're going to talk about views of interpretation. We're going to talk about some guidelines as you get ready to get in Scripture, and then we're going to call it bridging the gaps, because there's some gaps between when this was written and where we are right now, and we'll need to see that. Then we're going to look at a method, or actually maybe methods. We're going to look at some different ways of actually digging the scripture ourselves. We'll take a little time, and you know, in this class we have a lot of interaction, just like today. If you got a question, comment, input, just stop me right where we are and say, I got a question, you know, and or input, and we'll do that. Same thing when we get over here to method, we're probably going to take a couple of passages of scripture, and as a group with the great minds that we have in this classroom, we're going to look at a passage of scripture together and put it together, and we're going to observe it and interpret it and apply it and see all those kind of things. Then we'll have a time, we'll look at what I call some tips and tools for Bible study. And if possible, and if I can get some help, I will bring in some tools to show you some things that if you have, it'll help you be able to get into the scripture. And then the last thing is on the next, it's summary. We'll put a lot of things together. Now, all the way through the study, we, you know, questions, comments, input, I want you to do that. So we'll do it as we go through it. Okay. As we begin, we raise the big question on part number two of our outline is, why do we study? Why should you study the scripture? I mean, you think about this. If you come on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you're going to get from me, most likely, three different books, verse by verse, passage by passage. You're getting 1 Kings on Sunday morning, and we're going to start, in several weeks, we're going to start 1 Thessalonians on Sunday night. We just finished Ephesians. We're doing 1 Corinthians. You could say, well, I don't let to study the scripture myself because I could just come in here, JB teach through it, write down notes. I can still remember when I really wasn't growing very much as a Christian that I went to a church that a guy taught the Bible, and we had bulletins that were blank on the back so you could write notes. And every Sunday I would sit there and write notes, put it in my Bible, close that thing up. And the next time I saw it was with the next Sunday when I opened it up and those notes were in there. Oh, well, there's my stuff from last week. And then I would take my next notes. I think it's important that you study the scripture for yourself. We're going to see some reasons in a minute. But you know the bottom line? You can hear me say, you know, this passage means this. But you know what? It just changes you when you study it and you go, that passage means this right here. I got it. I see that. I see that myself. It makes a difference. And instead of somebody telling you that passage means this, you say, I studied it and that passage means this. That's a big difference. Well, what are some reasons? Why should we study the Bible? I think we got three major reasons. Here's the very first one. God commands us to study the Bible. God commands you to study the Word of God. You're in 2 Timothy. It's a famous verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. It's our Awana verse. We have Awana on Sunday nights, which I think is the greatest children's program that's really ever been put together because it is so clear in the gospel. Kids love it. They memorize the Bible. They understand a clear gospel message. They have a lot of fun. They play games. I mean, it's just the greatest study. And the theme verse of Awana is 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of God. The Bible tells us, the old King James talked about, study to show yourself approved. And that idea of study or be diligent, that's a command in the original language. He's commanding you to study the Scripture. For you to have your own time. Now, you know, when we talk about quiet time and Bible study, some people say, yeah, I have a quiet time. A quiet time and a Bible study are two different things. A quiet time, for me, it may be that I sit down and I got a little thing and I write some stuff and I pray for different people and maybe I read a couple of verses or something. And that's a quiet time. Bible studies where I'm studying the passage verse by verse, section by section, putting together truth in God's Word. And you need to be able to do both, have the quiet times and the Bible study. This lesson we're talking about is primarily, why should we study it ourselves? Why should we dig it? Well, the first one, God commands it. Notice the verse carefully. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. How are you approved to God? As a workman who need not be ashamed, you're going to do that because you're going to do what he says to do. And he says, accurately handling the word of truth. Literally in the Greek, it says cutting straight. Cutting straight the Word of God. Being able to know how the Bible fits together. It is amazing how that if you do not understand how the Bible fits together, then you can have totally different views of things than other people. None of us in this room believe that you should offer sacrifices for sin. Is that right? I mean, how many of you came up to me and said, listen, sometime this week, I got a lamb up, we got to bring up here and sacrifice because, you know, I said a bad word and so I've got to cover this thing up, right? Nobody says that. Why? Because we know that handling accurately the Bible clearly that Jesus Christ is the final sacrifice for sin, that when he died on the cross and paid for sin, that was the end of a sacrificial system which was given to the nation of Israel. So we as believers never offer animal sacrifices to deal with sin because sin's already paid for. We have accurately handled the Bible so we can see how it fits together. And that's what we should do. And he says you should study, you should dig, you should present yourself approved to God. Workmen need not be ashamed as you handle accurately, as you cut straight the Word of God. We're commanded to do that. You've heard me say this before, but I think when you think about the Bible, I think there are four aspects of studying the Bible. Number one is you need to know facts. Now, I've said this before, so this is not new for most of you, but you need to know the facts. You need to know who the first king of Israel was, the second king. You need to know how many books that Paul wrote. You need to know about the missionary journeys. You need to know about Moses and his mother and daddy, and you need to know this. And you need to know facts from the Bible. It is God's word given to us. You should know it. Some people say, well, that's kind of trivia things, like who was the first judge and the second judge and who was the first king and who was this and where did Paul go on his first missionary journey? And how many letters did he write and those kind of things. You need to know that. It's the Word of God. The more you know, the better it is. So you need to know the facts. Second thing is, I think you need to know the books. There are 66 books. If you say, what's the Bible about? Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. But there are 66 books. And what you should know is, what is Genesis about? What is Ephesians about? What is Romans about? What is the book of Revelation about? What is Isaiah about? What is Ezra about? You need to know. If somebody said, what is the book of Romans about? You would say, well, Romans is sometimes called the gospel of God. And what we see is this, and chapters 1, 2, 3 does this, and he's given us this. Or if somebody said, what's Ephesians about? You'd say, well, it's kind of a circular letter in which Paul wrote to believers in Ephesus, telling them who they are in Christ and how they should live out who they are in Christ. You should have an idea. Now, we're talking a lifelong process. You cannot learn all of this in a month or two or three or four or five. It is your whole life you are continually learning and putting together truth. So you should know facts. You should know the books. The third thing is you should know the timeline. You should know when things fit. Like we're talking about David, and you should say, okay, David lived about 1,000 years before Jesus. Well, when did Abraham live? About 2,000 years before Jesus. Well, when did Daniel live? About 600 years. I mean, you need to know who fits where. And if somebody said, who came first, Solomon or this person? You'd say, well, okay. And if you talked, you know, so you need to have a flow of the time of the scripture. It goes way back. Creation all the way to the end for all eternity. And then last but not least, I think you need to know theology. And that is taking the truths about God and His Word, and they're in sections like theology about the Bible and theology about God and theology about man and theology about salvation and about the church and the end times and all that. Now, we have a study called the 2-2, which a lot of you have taken. I think over the last 6 to 7 years, we've had 500 to 600 people take the 2-2 class just in our church. And that is a class which is 28 lessons, 14 a semester, that I call it a theological study. It's my favorite thing to teach. I think it has the most information packed in the shortest period of time that you can get. And it teaches you truths, theological truths. So I think when you say, I need to know the scripture, you need to know the facts, you need to know the books, you need to know the timeline, you need to know the theology. And you've got your whole life to do it. And that's why the Bible says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. You got to do that. So the Bible, the Word of God, God commands us to study the Bible. So if you said, why should I study the Bible? Because God said for you to. That ought to be enough by itself, right? You know, the second one is that this is God's Word from God to us. We don't have to turn to 2 Peter 1, but he's the one that passage talks about, that nobody ever came up with scripture on their own, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It is God who gave us the scripture. God makes himself known in a written form. Now, revelation is God making himself known. Inspiration, that's the Bible, God making himself known in a written form. You have the Word of God in your hand. That's an amazing thing. I put it this way, this is God's Word from God to us. It's to us. God used people. When we do membership training, we always talk about inspiration, and what it is how God breathed, God took His Word and breathed it through people, and people like Paul and James and Peter and Moses and David and Daniel, they wrote Scripture. That's what God did. God gave us His Word. It is from God to us. He used people to do it. It's powerful. Now, God is such a great God, He can take fallen people and people who make mistakes, and He can give us a perfect revelation, and that's what He did. The Word of God's perfect. Now, when I think about the Bible, I think of three things that always come to my mind, and you can put it under this one as well. The first one is Hebrews 4:12. It's alive and powerful. It is. Hebrews 4:12. Just write Hebrews 4:12. It's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Goes right to, you know, it's just amazing. Divides the joints and the marrow. The soul and the spirit. It is able to judge both the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So it's alive. I mean, this thing is amazing. You can study a passage, and then you can come back again, and you can study it again, and you'll see something that you didn't see the first time. And as we know, there's several reasons for that. One is that there's just more there than you could ever imagine. And number two is you're not the same person you were the last time you studied it, because you're growing to be more like Christ, and more things fit together as you grow. That's why when we talk about it, we're going to start 1 Thessalonians on Sunday night. And I went to look back to see when the last time I did 1 Thessalonians, and I did it in 1986. Now, usually, if we repeat a book of the Bible, because we've done almost all of them over the 21 years, usually about every 10 years we go. But this one has been a long time. So I hope I can remember 1 Thessalonians when we study through it. But we'll have a lot of fun as we go through it. It's going to be several weeks before we start it, because we got some different things on Sunday night. But this is God's Word to us. It's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Isaiah 55:11, the second part of that, is it never comes back void. Now, this is my favorite verse about when you get ready to teach the Scripture. It never comes back void, but accomplishes the purpose that God has for it. That means you can stand before people and you can teach the Bible and you don't have to worry if it's going to affect them. It will affect. It will do exactly what God wants it to do. The speaker is not the important one. The Word of God is what is important. As person speaking doesn't have to be clever, smart, sharp, or any of that stuff. They just have to teach the Scripture. Now, the best thing to do is teach the Scripture in the most interesting way you can. Don't bore people with the Scripture. But what affects people is the Word. Not the personality of the guy doing the teaching. It's the Word of God which affects people because it's alive and powerful. It never comes back void but accomplishes the purpose. And then the third thing is John 17:17. The Word of God is truth. It's truth. In a world that doesn't know truth, you have the truth. Isn't it the greatest thing to know that you have the rights and the wrongs and you know what's going to happen and you know all that? You know, you have truth. When people out there in the world, they don't even know what's going on. And they don't know what's right. And they don't have any foundation. You have the Word of God, which is truth. So, first reason that we should study the Bible is because God commands it. The second one is, this is God's Word. It's from God to us. The third one is that the Word is for us. It's for our own good. I want you to turn, you're in 2 Timothy 2:15, just look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. In my Bible, I don't even have to change the page. See, if you had a Bible like mine, you wouldn't even be turning a page. But anyway, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Word of God is for us. It's profitable. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God. That means it is revelation in a written form. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Profitable. That means it's for your good. It's for your benefit. The Word of God is for our benefit. It is amazing that God has given us something that is for our benefit, and we say something like, I don't even like it. I don't want to study it. Why do I need to know it? He said, because it's for your benefit. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for, notice the four things, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. It gives you truth. It shows you where you're wrong. Shows you how to get right. Shows you how to stay right. Teaching gives you truth. Reproof shows you where you're wrong. Correction shows you how to get right. Training shows you how to stay right. I know you can't write all that down because I went fast. But those four things are there. For profitable for teaching, reproof for correction and training. Teaching shows you the truths. Reproof shows you where you're wrong. Correction shows you how to get right. Training in righteousness shows you how to stay right. It is for your benefit that you know the Scripture and study it. I did a study. It's been 15 years ago. I did it on Sunday night, and I called it Principles of Growth. It was just a whole bunch of different good stuff. And in about a three-week time period, I did a thing on how to study the Bible, not as detailed as what we're going to do here. And we actually, in the class, just took a little passage and kind of went through it. I had a number of people walk up to me afterwards and say, I've been in church all my life, and this is the first time in my life I was ever shown how to study a passage. That's ridiculous, really, isn't it? I mean, if the whole idea is that the Bible talks about study the Scripture and teach one another, well, then we ought to always be teaching people how to get into Scripture and study it and grow and all that good stuff. This third one is that it is for our good. It is the Word of God is for our good. I love verse 17. I think verse 17 is on the top of the next page where it says results. Verse 17, he says, so that, and in the Greek language it's really a purpose statement, so that the man of God may be adequate. That word adequate means mature, equipped for every good work. Two things stand out. It matures you and equips you. The Word of God makes you mature and it equips you to do God's ministry. You know, there are a lot of people who are zealous. You know, hey, I want to help. They don't know anything. Zeal without knowledge is dangerous. It is. It's great to be zealous. Paul writes in Romans, he said, it's great to be zealous, but you got to be right when you're zealous. You don't want to be zealous about the wrong thing. And there are a lot of people who say, I'm all fired up, but they don't know the Scripture. How are you going to teach people and train people if you don't know it? You may be all excited about it, but you don't know anything. That's why you have to study it. And so he says, why should we study it? Well, he says here it is from God for our good. So why should we study it? God commands us to dig the Word. It's from God to us, given by the Holy Spirit, helping us to put it together. And it's for our own good. It's profitable so that we'll mature and be able to serve. Now, I'm just looking at the clock, and wherever we stop, we'll just stop. Do you have any, so far, any questions or input on any of this so far? Because we're just talking about the fact that God commands us to study it. It is from God to us, and it is really for our own good. That's why we should study it. Anything? Any? Yes? I think you
wouldn't know that unless you said yeah. It for yourself.
Exactly right. That is a good point, and I'm glad you said that, because he's saying another benefit of studying the Scripture yourself, and I did mention a while ago that when you study a passage, you can say, this is what this passage means, not just depending on somebody else to tell you what that passage means. But when you study the Scripture and you know it, then when you hear someone teaching it, you will know whether this is accurate or not. You'll be able to discern right from wrong. You'll be able to turn on the radio or the television or go into a church service or read some book or look at some study. And when you look at something, you say, that doesn't match. How many of you have got a Bible study sometimes and they'll say, go turn here and do this. And you'll realize that those verses they're telling you to look at is not really saying what that person's saying they're saying. Or that you've turned on the radio or the TV and a guy says something and you know that's not matching what you know the Scripture says. Well, the truth is, just like he said, there's no way for you to be able to say, I know the Scripture says something else. You can't do that unless you studied it and know that yourself. You can't do it. You just have to take their word for it. That's why so many people are so confused, because they'll turn on the radio and they'll hear somebody and they're teaching something over here, and then they'll hear somebody and they're teaching something that's just the opposite, and they don't know what to believe. Because they don't know. And that's why the passage in Hebrews, which we won't get to this morning, but it's in this study, it's on this lesson. The passage in Hebrews says that as you grow and mature, you're able to discern so that you won't be tossed back and forth. The Ephesian passage says, no longer children tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine. You need to get to the point that when you study, you know what you believe. And then when you hear something, you can either say that matches Scripture or that doesn't match the Scripture. So that's a really good point. Anything else? Anything else before we move on to this next section? We've still got a few more minutes. Okay, I think we need to follow. I think we need to follow Ezra's pattern. I want you to turn there. Just turn to the book of Ezra. Go back to the Old Testament, and there's Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, and Job, and First and Second Chronicles. So if you get First and Second Chronicles right after that is Ezra. If you get Nehemiah, Job, and all that, Esther, you've gone too far. So the book of Ezra, chapter 7. I want you to see one verse. I know we got about 3 or 4 minutes left. I just want you to see the verse, what's there, and then we'll go with more details next time. Ezra chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 10. Anybody, if most people there? Most people found it? Sometimes it's hard to find some of the books in the Old Testament if you're not used to going back there. But anyway, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 says this. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Now, what we want to see is Ezra had a pattern. Ezra had a plan. And what we want to do is use Ezra's pattern. Follow his plan. Now, first of all, he did something that a lot of people don't do. He says Ezra set his heart. That means he planned something. He purposed something. He made a decision to do something. And as most of you know, if you don't make a decision to do something, you're not going to do it. People say things like, I wish I knew that. Well, have you made a decision or a plan to accomplish that? The answer is no, and that's why it never happens. Ezra said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm making a plan, and there are three things to it. Ezra's plan, and follow with me. Ezra had set his heart, what's the first thing? Study the law of the Lord. He set his heart to study the Word of God. That's number one. Study the Bible. Now, the question would be for us in this room, have you purposed in your heart, decided you're going to study the Scripture? Second thing that he did, what does it say? Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to what? practice it, which means what? To apply it. See, we don't want to just study the Bible for knowledge. You study the Bible so you can apply it. And so have you made a decision that not only are you going to dig the Word and study it, but the truths and principles you find there, you're going to live those out in your life? And then what was the third thing? He said his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to do what? To teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. That's the third thing, to teach the Word. And we know this, that these same truths, this same pattern ought to be our lives. Every one of us in this room said, you know what we've decided? We've decided we're going to study the Bible for ourselves. And that we're going to take the truths that we find in the Bible and we're going to live those out in our lives. We're going to apply them. And then what we're going to do is as we know them and apply them, we're going to find other people that we can teach these things to so they can understand it. Sort of the 2 Timothy 2:2 passage where it says, take the things that you've been taught in the presence of many witnesses and you entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. You take what you've been taught, you pass it on to others. Then they'll be able to take what you teach them, and they'll pass it on to others. And then they'll take what they've been taught, and they'll pass it on to others. That's the way it works. We continue to study and pass on truth. So next time, and I'll open it up for questions in just a second, but next time as we look at this, we'll stop right there. But we're going to look at the big three things, the study of the Word, the apply the Word, and to teach the Word. Now, I'll also, because we'll probably go more quickly next week, I'll also probably have lesson number 2 ready for you as well as we'll continue on. So if we finish this lesson next time, I'll have you the next handout as well so we can put it together. Okay, any questions, comments, anything about the study so far? Does anybody even care? No, I'm just kidding. It's it's great stuff. It will change your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we think about how perfect your word is and that you have given to us written revelation, Lord, I pray that we will know it, that you have commanded us to study the Bible, that it is from you, it is perfect, and it is for our good. And so, Lord, we realize that it will equip us and train us, it'll mature us, it'll have us ready to serve. And so, Lord, we want to be like Ezra, that we would like to take the truths from your word. We would dig them, know them, be able to put it together, know how the Bible fits, handle accurately the word of God, rightly divide the truths, that we'd be able to do that. And then we would live it out. And that the people around us would see that we're totally different because we live according to the scripture. And then last but not least, Lord, that we'd pass it on to other people. That we would take truths that we know and we would just help other people understand these same things. Lord, use this body of believers. Use our class. Lord, I love our class. Thank you that we get to be together. Teach us, please. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.